Happy to have with us right now from ESPN, our good buddy, John Clayton. John, welcome to the show.
Good to be here. How's it going?
It's going well. A very interesting start to training camp, John, and you've had a chance to watch this team a little bit. Give me some of your general impressions.
Well, I mean, it's going in the right direction. I mean, the unfortunate problem now is that with the ownership change, it's likely I don't know if it's how that's going to translate into the whole equation, but overall, I think that you can see it's the right move to go young on offense. And we've seen teams like the Jets and others going older on offense at wide receiver. Well, I think that you can look in the talent in the field, and I think it shows particularly when you watch practice because – example, Pat Shurmur, when he was back in St. Louis, I mean, nobody in this history of the league has gone through more receivers than he has. I mean, you know, he was at St. Louis and it was like a toss salad every week because they basically had a receiver by committee and the committee was just not good. I mean, it was like they weren't real good receivers. Well, so what he did was the smart thing, take three-step drops, get the ball out of his hand, and Sam Bradford had a great first year. I mean, thanks to Pat Shurmur, that was a 3-4 win team that won seven games. Here, they're working five-step drops. That's a show of confidence, one, in the offensive line, two, the quarterback, and three, that there's some talented receivers that can get downfield.
And when you look at the quarterback, Brandon Whedon, the strong arm, the physical sense that he brings, and really that nature that he doesn't want to leave the pocket. He's back there and wants to make the play from the pocket. That's something different for this football team, obviously, than it's had in recent years, and something dynamic, I guess, potentially, when those throws are made and if they're accurate.
Yeah, no question. And I think that he's got the good arm. I think that particularly now, I mean, he comes from a system that didn't have a playbook, and now he's got a playbook, and he knows what to do with it. I think this is where the benefits are the fact that he's more mature. I mean, he comes in at 28 going on 29, and so he is able to learn things quickly, and I think he's able to adapt. And, the one thing is he's going to make mistakes, and you can see it in practice. He's going to fumble a snap here. He's going to make an interception throw there. You can expect that. I mean, this is, like watching a young baseball team that they're going to go through their good moments and they're going to go through slumps, but I think the fact that they can all go through it together, it may take some time, but ultimately it's going to work.
Can you envision what this team is envisioning with regard to how it drafted Whedon, Trent Richardson, and of course, before the supplemental draft, it was Mitchell Schwartz at right tackle, who is still obviously a key underpinning there. But now the addition of Josh Gordon with Richardson, Whedon, Gordon, can you see that trio amounting to something big and dynamic long-term for this team?
Yeah, long-term, as long as there can be some patience waiting for it. And I went through trying to find similar things. And, there was two examples, one good, one bad, back from 2009. Here's the good example. You go back to Philadelphia. They had Shady McCoy at running back. They had Jeremy Maclin at wide receiver. DeSean Jackson was breaking in at wide receiver. And, of course, they did have an experienced quarterback in Donovan McNabb. So they had the young running back, they had the young receivers, and they won 11 games. All right, that's probably not the expectation of this team. You look at the other side of it. The Oakland Raiders were going through, and they were getting young receivers. I mean, they were getting Lewis Murphy, Darius Heyward-Bey. I mean, that was a very good young group. I mean, Chaz Schillings was in there. They went with a young running back and Darren McFadden. They had Jamarcus Russell at quarterback. They win five games. So somewhere in between the two, probably closer to the Raider win total, is where you find this team. But again, it's the right thing to do because, look what happened in Oakland. I mean, Oakland ends up being an 8-8 team after a couple years, even though they've gone through a lot of quarterback switches. But that receiving core is pretty good. I mean, they've now gone the right direction. This receiving core and the running back is clearly going to be very good.
You mentioned Pat Shurmur and what the approach that he brings and what he was a part of previously in St. Louis with Sam Bradford, those receivers, an offense that actually had good explosiveness and certainly the potential to be very explosive. But the rest of this coaching staff, looking at Brad Childress, looking at the experience that is now with Nolan Cromwell, Dick Geron as defensive coordinator, lots of years and folks in this group that have that experience and that good teaching ability. Is that something that can mean a lot to this team?
Oh, I think so. And I think it's important for Pat to have a good experience hand like Brad Childress because I think you can see it in his nature. He's just more, I don't know how he was last year, but you can see there's more of a relaxed ability he has. You can see that the confidence is there, and it's like now he can run some things together with some very good minds, with Brad Childress, with Mike Holmgren. I mean, they can put all those things together, and start to say, okay, and you can see where this thing can build very, very well. It's a good coaching staff. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, it's been put together very well, and it's going to be a good teaching staff. And when you've got young players in a pretty decent base defense, I mean, that can be an encouragement and offer some hope. I mean, the team's going in the right direction.
John Clayton from ESPN joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And you bring up that defense, and really I think it's sort of underappreciated because so much focus was on the offense's inability to score and the struggles that this team had just moving the football. But a constant, I think, of last year was that they were in games, they were in competitive, of course, because of that defense. As you watch them out in practice, do you see the foundation of something that can take yet another step? They rank 10th overall defensively in the entire league. They struggled against the run, but do you see some areas where the improvement will take hold?
Well, I mean, I think you can see the drafting to the defensive line, as long as they can stay healthy, can help, and that can just help overall, and it'll help against the run, and I think it, ultimately it'll help get the pass rush going too. I think the one thing that's been a good base here, it's been a pretty solid linebacking core carrying over from the previous staff, and also to a good secondary. I mean, it's like, when you have a Brandon Wheaton that comes in here and he's now in his first padded practice, and he wants to throw the ball against Joe Hayden because it gives him a challenge. He knows it's like, hey, throwing against Joe Hayden is tough. It's a very tough throw, and he wants to do that. And why is that? Because Hayden's so good at the cornerback position. And so I think things like that, it helps the offense, but also too, there's a confidence that's there in the defense, because except for the changes that have been made on the defensive line, it's been a group now that's been together, and there's some consistency there, and it is getting better. It's like, is there going to be a dramatic leap? I can't see it. I mean, it's not going to go from 10 to 5, but I can see it maintained somewhere in that 10 to 15 area, as long as there's not a lot of turnovers.
And as we talk about improvement on the team in all phases, we're still talking about a team that plays in easily the toughest division in the NFL, or one of them for sure. And the Steelers, the Ravens, the Bengals, those teams are always going to be formidable. Maybe the Bengals more formidable than they've been. As you look at the division, as you look at the schedule, are those daunting tasks for the Browns?
No question, because, I mean, just go back to last year and what happened in Cincinnati. I mean, here's Cincinnati. They hit it at quarterback with Andy Dalton. Then, boom, they hit it at wide receiver with A.J. Green. They had a great young tight end in Jermaine Gresham, and they had a slot receiver in Jordan Shipley. So next thing you know, with Jay Gruden's play calling, they shoot up to the playoffs. I mean, but where are they in the division? They're still third. I mean, there is slippage in Baltimore. There is slippage in Pittsburgh, but they still remain, in the top echelon of the AFC. And so catching up to them is going to be hard. I think there's going to be a little bit of a drop back in Cincinnati. That at least creates the opportunity for maybe Cleveland to jump up a little bit. But I think that, the division right now is probably the second best division in the league. The best division is probably the NFC South. But the fact that this division is now three teams deep, even though there might be a little slippage in Cincinnati, Cleveland is, maybe not this year in the transition to move into the group, but they're clearly on path to maybe do it next year. I mean, this team is on the rise.
I think you and I have a combined, I'm trying to figure this out, upwards of 70 years of covering this league. It means we're old, John, yes. But here's the thing. We've seen a lot happen with regard to, you mentioned it earlier, about ownership change and where it's happened in various places in the NFL in different eras of the NFL. And that's important because of the dollars involved and the complexity of how organizations are involved. And we've seen it from very simple to the most complicated models that are out there now. Do you, in your experience, do you see these situations where, as the Browns are now in a negotiation for the possibility of someone taking over this franchise, a different ownership, how does it affect things? Because you walked into this story and it happens at the start of training camp, and it's something you've been paying attention to. You told me on last Friday you were busy with that, and when you were around Pittsburgh. How do you see it translating to impacting what actually happens on the field this year?
If the ownership change happens as early as September, you hope that the new owner doesn't make changes. You hope that he stays the course. And, it can go any different way. I mean, we've seen it in different ways in different cities. I mean, but the one thing is, this team has made a commitment to youth. a commitment to youth sometimes doesn't translate in victories, but also too ultimately can change things. Because if you made the right decisions in the front office on getting the good young players in there, then it can grow and then get better pretty fast. And I mean, just go back, you know, I'm sure that there was some thoughts in Detroit. They're sitting there at 2-10. They're back in the 2010 season. It's like, well, geez, I mean, should we start thinking about a new coach? And they had good young talent at the on the offense, and they all came together, won 4 games at the end of the season, and then became hot and made a playoffs in 2011. I mean, you look at the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you know, nobody thought theoretically that Cam Newton was going to be as successful as he was the first year. You know, they go through like a very bad start. They start getting hot, and you watch how much better they're going to be this year. You use the same model, I think, for the, you know, the Cleveland Browns, particularly with a very tough schedule. All right, you know, if you start, you can have an ownership switch. But if you start making changes too fast, you ruin what's going to be the natural progression of something that could go right. I mean, you know, again, sometimes when you're stuck with tough schedules and things are knocked against you, it doesn't translate into wins. But if you can see it's moving in the right direction, and you can see, you know, the Josh Gordons, and you can see the Trent Richardsons, you can see good things out of Brandon Wheaton. If you let that patience go in and don't disturb that, you can have ownership switch, but you don't want too much change if it's going in the right direction.
Great stuff, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
One and only John Clayton, and yes, we are both old guys, covering the National Football League, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.